We're talking Teletubbies. Tinky Winky, Dipsy.
Welcome, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to yet another episode of Mango's Void. We're once again coming at you from two different continents, and Donovan was just about to explain to me the air quality of the country that he's in. So how's your air quality going?
It's pretty terrible, but you know, I feel like everything is relative. So when like the quality of your heart is also black, you know, it actually kind of like
makes
sense.
Yeah, it all goes well.
You know, it's kind of like an aesthetic where it's like my heart is black, my lungs are black. You know, it's like everything is sort of like a sequence set. So that's kind of nice about living in the West right now. You know, not only is the environment killing you, but so is everything about the actual structure of the society. You know?
Yeah, I really like that. Yeah.
How are you doing? What's been on your mind?
Oh,
Jinx, you owe me Gluck Gluck 5000.
Okay. I owe you Gluck Gluck 5000. So I had a realization. Okay, I guess it's not really a realization, but it's just a thought that's sort of been like floating around my brain for maybe the past week and a half or so. And I've been wondering if it's possible to live without trying to control your reality. Mm. You know, in one of our previous episodes, I was talking about how we are all just a pebble in a stream, right? We're just randomly floating in the middle of empty space, spinning on a rock. And yeah, I just wonder if we, as a species, we blame our misery on external things as opposed to our constant need to control external things. Does that make sense?
No, literally.
Does all misery come from like attempts to control reality? Yeah. And I say this because I came across like another like manifestation video when I was on Instagram, which I'm not on anymore. Bitch, I deactivated. Gang, gang. I came across this like, your thoughts create reality. And I was like, is this the ideology that like perpetuates misery? Because on one hand, do we emphasize our thoughts way too much? Like what I've come to realize with my thoughts is that 99% of my thoughts are they're just absolute garbage. Absolute garbage. And I think it was 2 weeks ago I sent you a text and I was like, what is the point of thinking? Like why do we have thoughts? And I've been spiraling ever since because I've come to realize after spending some time just observing my thoughts and watching what they do and how they engage with day-to-day life, that like thoughts are a scam. Yeah. They're either lying to you to make yourself feel better about your current reality, or they're trying to convince you to change your current reality to make yourself feel better, or they're complaining incessantly about reality because it's not conforming to the way your thoughts want it to be. And it's like, the more I sit and watch my thoughts just swirl around my brain constantly, also just every day thoughts, I'm like, wait, these thoughts are just absolute trash, like actually just garbage. And I'm like, wait, these thoughts aren't even me. Who is this person? Yeah. Like, who is this person inside of my skull who's like yelling constantly? And like, I think I've gone my whole life sort of like thinking that my thoughts are me, because Descartes, who if I catch him in the streets, I will fuck him up because I blame him for the demise of all society. Yeah. Descartes said, I think, therefore I am. And now I'm realizing that nigga was lying. That nigga was lying. He's actually ruined us. This idea that we are our thoughts truly has ruined us. Or this idea that our thoughts are even relevant to what's happening outside of us. Or, you know, like, your thoughts are not you. You are not your thoughts. They come from, I don't even know, like, I don't even know who this nigga is in my mind. Yeah. But I know it's not me. And I know that everything this nigga does is an attempt to control external reality because he's such a fragile little bitch and everything bothers him. I'm going to call him a him. And everything has to be exactly the way. And I can't believe we've been sold this fantasy that our thoughts are A, us, who we are, B, should be used to manipulate external reality, and C, our thoughts are reality. Right. When it's like all three of those things are false, your thoughts are not you. Actually, they have very little, if anything, to do with you. D, your thoughts don't affect reality at all. If you have a soccer game tomorrow and you're like, I hope it doesn't rain. It needs to not rain because I have a reality doesn't care what your thoughts want. So your thoughts just, the only thing your thoughts affect are like how you feel, but nothing else really. So A, your thoughts are not you. B, your thoughts don't affect reality at all. And C, all they do is like try to control reality. And it's a very futile attempt to control reality because they never do. Why do we pay any attention to our thoughts?
Right. It's just the guy. You know, I think that a lot of our generation's attempt to better ourselves and work on ourselves and deal with our traumas ended up turning into us taking on this role of becoming a detective for our own misery. We're like sleuths in our own, like, let me get to the bottom of it. And the goal of therapy, the goal of all this shit should be to make you feel better. You know what I mean? Like, you don't have to endlessly embrace this role of being a sleuth for your own depression. And I think you said something very profound, which is that, like, your thoughts don't inherently have this incredible deep meaning. You know what I mean? Sometimes...
At all.
I heard this woman say this incredibly profound thing to me, which was that, like, sometimes just view your negative thoughts like a parrot. Like, when a bird says something racist, you're not like, oh, this bird has this deep understanding of race realism. It's like, no, someone taught the bird how to say the N-word, and now it's just randomly squawking. Yeah. It's not, it has no meaning to it. The bird doesn't hate black people. The bird does, it's just, it was taught this word. It thinks it's fun to say, and now it's just going to keep saying it randomly. And I think that a lot of the deification of psychology has sort of led to this idea that every single thing that happens in our head is deep. And it's like, that's not true. The brain is extremely complex, and I'm sure that there's something deeply spiritual going on, and we don't understand even half of it. That being said, not every thought that crosses your mind has this deep psychological underpinning that completely explains your whole life in a concrete narrative. And no, sometimes it's just a fucking bird. Sometimes you're just squawking about your childhood in your head for absolutely no reason. And, you know, I think a big thing is that our brains are actually computers, and the more we use them, just like a hard drive, the more you write on it, the more it gets damaged. So it's like your brain spitting out a random trash-ass thought about how stupid and ugly you are might not have any deep meaning. Your hard drive just might be a little fucked, and it does that sometimes. It's like there might not be any meaning. It might just be shitty now. You might not be this bad person that need. You might just have a bit of a broken mechanism because you're traumatized from your childhood. And now every time at 11 p.m. when you lay your head on the pillow, your brain just spits out a bunch of negative shit about you. And that might not be meaningful. Yeah. That might not have some deep. It might be broken. And it's interesting. I was talking to a male friend of mine because he was going to see this therapist who's very soft and very gentle. And he'd be describing his problems to her, which for him was like having extreme social anxiety to the point that he wouldn't leave his house for months. And he was describing these issues to his therapist, and his therapist was just like, yeah, well, you know, you need to relax, and, you know, you've had a very stressful life, and you just need to... And he was like, no, I don't. Yeah. Like, I need someone to tell me to get the fuck out of my bed and grab life by the horns and actually do this thing. So now he sees this therapist that just kind of tells him he's being a bitch ass nigga. So it's like he'll be like, yeah, yeah, you know, like I haven't been out of my bed in like 3 months. And I think it's because my dad was mean to me. And then his therapist will be like, yeah, but you're fucking 34 now. What the fuck does that have to do with that? And it's like his therapist is kind of like the opposite of all other therapists. His therapist just kind of tells him like, yeah, ignore that. It's stupid. You're being an idiot. Like, you're not this like terrible person. You actually just are kind of a loser who needs to take control of their own life. Go do that.
Yeah.
And I know that's a very like unorthodox approach to therapy. It's actually the exact thing that you're not supposed to do. But what I found interesting listening to my friend describe this is he was like, that's the best and most productive session I've ever had. And he's like, I will continue to see this man that basically just calls me an idiot and tells me that I need to get over myself because that was so much more productive for me than this very calm white woman. And listen, everyone's different. Like, tough love is not for everybody. And therapy certainly isn't supposed to be about tough love. But I just found that very interesting how someone telling him to, like, ignore your thoughts. Just get out of bed and stop being a loser. Maybe it's like gendered, you know? Like, I'm not sure men react to that very soft, gentle touch in the exact same way. Because I think a lot of us are probably like yearning for some father figure deep down. Like, that's really why a lot of men are going to therapy. They're just like looking for someone to be firm and like decisive with them. I'm potentially going to look for like a different tone from the people I look for advice from. Because this endlessly encouraging, soft, gentle touch isn't doing anything for me. And a lot of it is because I think it enables the validity of your own thoughts as this inherently meaningful like doctrine, as opposed to the random shit that a parrot yells in the street. You know, it's not always meaningful. And sometimes someone just has to tell you to stop being a fucking idiot. And, you know, I think like that's also useful.
Yeah, I definitely think that there is a deification of thoughts.
Yeah.
We've really deified thinking. And I think part of my beef with therapy is actually in part what you're saying, where it's like, I don't like the way therapists talk to me.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I'm being like obnoxiously prideful, but I don't like the like, yeah, so tell me, that sounds really hard. That sounds really difficult. Yeah, I'm really, I like, why are you talking like that?
Why are you talking like the ice cream so good girl?
Yeah, it's just.
Trauma's so bad.
Why are you talking like this? It's like, don't pity me.
Right.
I don't know. It's like, it feels like I'm being pit. Because it's like, I actually don't view myself as like a victim. So don't make me out to be a victim. I'm just a nigga suffering.
Right.
Like, I'm just, so just address me as a nigga suffering. And I do think that oftentimes, like, the 1 million therapists that I've gone to see have always emphasized this idea of changing the way you think about yourself. And something that people say all the time is like, you need to change the way you talk to yourself.
Yeah.
You need to change your, you know, the way you think about life. But no one has ever said to me, bitch, you need to ignore your thoughts because your thoughts are dumb, stupid bitches.
And they're your ops. Like, they're trying to kill you. They're not on your side, you know?
Yeah.
No, it's very,
it's like
true.
They're not here for my benefit. I've come to realize from just spending time with my thoughts, because the other day I was asking you, like, why do we think, I just want to get to the bottom of like, why are these thoughts here? Like, because I feel like, I don't think thinking is bad inherently. I think the way that we deify, emphasize, identify with, and use our thoughts is very toxic.
Yeah.
But I don't think like thinking on its own is a bad thing. And I think that if we were to know what is the purpose of our thoughts, then we could use them in the right way. In the same way that like the purpose of a car is to get you from point A to point B. Mm-hmm. But if you try to use a car as a house, it's not really going to benefit you.
Right.
You need to use a car as a vehicle to get you from point A to point B. And I wanted to get to the bottom of what is the point of thinking? Like, what are these thoughts for?
Yeah.
And I've come, and maybe I'm wrong. This is just like the conclusion I've come to, but I'm actually curious to know what you think. Mm. I've come to the conclusion that the only reason your thoughts are there is to make you feel better. That's like all they're there to do.
Yeah.
They're just there to make you feel better about external things happening. It could be even like neutral things. Like, because I think about, why is it that when I'm walking outside and I see a really cute Maltese, my thoughts will go, oh my God, that Maltese is so cute. It reminds me of Marshmallow, even the way it walks. And it's like, why is my mind narrating this experience that I'm already experiencing? Like, it's redundant.
Right.
I can see that there's a Maltese. Why does my mind then have to tell me that there's a Maltese in front of me, and then cast a judgment about this Maltese and then relay it to my own Maltese? Why do we have to do all of this every day, every second of the day?
Right.
Like, why is it every day? And yeah, I just think that the reason your mind is constantly narrating reality for you is to make you feel more comfortable in reality, to like give you context. It's like to try to like give everything context. Mm. So that it can bring everything back to you. Like, if it can make everything about you,
narrativize it,
then you will, you know, you feel a lot less lost.
That makes a lot of sense. Things,
Yeah, like things make more sense, like on a general level,
right.
You know, if like, if every time you see something, your brain is like, yeah, and this is what this thing has to do with you.
Yeah.
Then you will constantly feel like held and cuddled. But it's like, that's really childish. That's really childish. You don't need to give me context about everything.
Yeah.
It's just a Maltese. I don't, not everything has to be about me. I think I'm just getting really tired of my mind.
Yeah,
like, I'm just at my wit's end.
I'm at the same point. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, you don't have to do, it's not every day. Sometimes shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
And let me look at a dog. Shut the fuck up. Nobody asked you.
Yeah.
No one asked you your opinion of this Maltese.
Yeah.
And you don't need to like relay it back to me to make it about me.
You're telling your mind to get a job. It's like you're just always in my, you know, you ever like date someone who doesn't have a job and they're like texting you at your job? And it's like,
oh my God.
No, I completely feel you, you know?
Yeah. And it's like, and then I also realize, okay, so I realize that, yeah, like with just everyday small things, my mind is always narrating and describing what I'm seeing as if I can't see it. And it's like, yeah, I'm tired of that. Mm. This is really patronizing, actually. You're treating me like I'm a child, like I can't handle reality. I can shut the fuck up and just let me experience a Maltese. And the second, I'm like over here talking shit about my mind. The second thing is that like, it's always complaining. Like it just...
It's never positive. That's the thing. That's when you had to turn it off, you know?
And maybe, you know, maybe not everyone's mind is like this. And like, you know, if your mind actually...
Yeah, no, some people aren't clinically depressed.
Yeah, and it's like... Yeah, another thing I noticed about my mind is this bitch always has something to say about everything. Everything. And it's like, it just won't leave you alone.
Yeah.
It'll just be...
It's a hater.
It's a hater. Yeah,
it's like a Reddit
troll.
And
it'll just be like, you know, maybe someone took 3 minutes longer than they usually take to text back. And it's already like, see?
Right.
Right. I told you.
Yeah.
This nigga hates
you. Once again, detective.
See, it's because.
Detective for your own misery. That's what it's like. I'm dedicating my life to pursuing a case that no one loves me.
Yeah. And then I'll just be like, but mind, like, what if this person just has other things to do?
Right.
And they're like, no, remember last year? Yeah. Remember 18 years ago when that bitch asked you for ice cream and you were like, no, I don't really have enough money for ice cream. That's why they hate you.
Yeah.
That's why they've taken 3 minutes. And it's like, I don't know. That kind of sounds unreasonable.
Yeah.
And it's like, what I've noticed too is like, the more you try to reason with your mind,
yeah,
it's like just arguing with an idiot.
Yeah.
It's like, this isn't going anywhere.
Yeah.
This isn't going anywhere. I can argue with you until I'm blue in the face.
Yeah.
And you'll do anything.
Yeah.
And then it'll also just be like little things. It'll just be like, you know, maybe like I was kind of too tired the night before to fold my clothes and put them in the wardrobe. So I come into my room, and the second I walk into the room, the mind is like, you need to fold your clothes and put them in the wardrobe, or I'm going to throw you out off the balcony.
Yeah.
I'm gonna beat you up. And it's like, can you just let the clothes be? Like, why can't life just be the way it is?
Yeah.
Why can't mind just let life unfold the way it's going to unfold? It's like, oh, it's about to rain. Why does that have to be a problem? Let it rain.
Right.
It's fine.
Right.
Sometimes it rains. It's not everyday sun. It's, oh, see, you have a cold. Yeah, sometimes a bitch has a cold. Let's have a cold and let it pass. You know? And it's just, yeah, I'm tired of this bitch.
You know, I think what you're saying is very true, because we're just not supposed to be living like this at all. The extent to which we've basically made our prefrontal cortex, like, the main command seat of our entire lives, is just not supposed to be. It's supposed to be a very small, virtually inconsequential part of our brain that is only used for emergency problem solving. So when you're talking about the development of thought, which a lot of people kind of think was developed symbiotically with language, is actually just to communicate complex ideas for our own safety. So, like, if we didn't have complex thoughts and we didn't have complex language, and I went and I saw that there was a lion by the watering hole, and I came back to my tribe, but I only was able to express individual ideas, individual thoughts. I could only yell, like, lion, water, danger. So the only reason we developed complex language and complex thought was to be able to handle these emergencies, was to be able to come back to the tribe and say, hey, there is a lion by the watering hole. Look out for danger, right? We had to be able to tell story, to be able to communicate complex things. The problem is when we made everything a story. Being able to narrativize and tell stories, it was supposed to be a brief, every once in a while thing that we do and able to warn our tribes and explain things that need to be explained and solve complex problems that need to be solved. But something I was actually talking to you about the other day is the way that humans narrativize has become so unnecessarily toxic and complex that when you listen to people talk about their past, they're describing a tragedy, right? When you just ask anyone about their past, they're describing the plot of like a Greek tragedy where it's like, I was this perfect person and then I met my ex and they broke my heart and now I'm this scorned, bitter person and I'll never be the same.
Yeah.
You like ask anyone about their past and they'll like describe a Shakespearean tragedy. And it's like, it's virtually everyone. It's like, they view their past as a story where they were hurt and now they're permanently scarred and they're a different person now and that's the end. And then you listen to people talk about their future and they describe like a very dystopian Black Mirror episode where it's like, oh, I'm just going to be lonely in a pod with a bunch of cats and just, you know, and it's like one is depression, you know, like our insistence on describing our past as a tragedy is just depression. It's objectively not true. The fact that you're alive is a miracle. If you live in the West and you have food and you have shelter, you're in like the top 1% of the entire world, yet you're somehow narrativizing your past as a tragedy because your college boyfriend was mean to you. That's insane, but we all do it. And then the alternative, which is the way people view the future, is just anxiety. So it's like when people think about their future and they're just like, oh, I'm just going to be poor and I'm just going to be lonely. And I'm just, and it's like, listen, the world actually isn't going in a good direction. So I completely understand why people feel like that. But this insistence on viewing your life as a narrative itself and your future as this dystopian Black Mirror episode just doesn't make sense, because life isn't a story. I'm not trying to say that the future isn't going to suck. Yeah. I'm not trying to say climate change isn't real. I'm not trying to say late stage capitalism isn't real. I'm saying that your particular Black Mirror episode that you've written in your head is just a bullshit product of your own anxiety. Your narrativization of your fucking past, in which you are this scorned character that cannot love again, and someone betrayed my trust and I'll never be able to put myself out there again. You're not a fucking Greek tragedy. Like, what is this?
Yeah.
Your life is not a movie. And I think that real and necessary feature in our brain to narrativize or protect ourselves has led us completely astray. Like, we had a very useful function programmed into our species to be able to come back and say, there is a lion at the watering hole and it's a problem. So don't go to the watering hole today. And we somehow spun that into creating these extremely elaborate and toxic narratives about ourselves that inherently make our life a finished book. You know, there is nothing else to say. My past is a tragedy. My future is a dystopian young adult novel. And there's nothing else to say. And the real tragedy of viewing your life as a story is that you're never living in the present. You know, and you're constantly being hijacked by your thoughts. You got trauma bringing you to the past. You've got anxiety dragging you to the future. And what you're never doing is living in the present, where life is happening.
Yes.
Where your whole life is just the present. You are always just in the present. And that happens to be the space where we've all decided to never live. And
can you imagine?
I think we all need to get dumber.
Thank you for listening to the first half of this conversation. If you're interested in listening to the rest of this conversation, you will find it on Patreon. You can go to patreon.com/bobosvoid, or you can just click on the link in the description box below. So, patreon.com/bobosvoid, or just click on the description box below. Thank you.